301-230-0980, the number right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham sitting in for Kevin. We'll take you up to 1 p.m. Right now, we continue our conversation on the Washington Nationals with our pal, Britt Giroli, senior writer for The Athletic, covering Major League Baseball. Give her a follow on the old X app at Britt underscore Giroli. That is B-R-I-T-T underscore G-H. I-R-O-L-I. Britt, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
What's going on, Linnell? I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm so happy to hear from you. We'll give a little radio insider here for a second. I got the chance to work with Britt a couple of years back, producing some shows for her on 106.7 The Fan. She is obviously doing great things, one of the best writers in all of Major League Baseball, so make sure you check out her stuff in The Athletic. Super cool having a kind of a full circle moment with you, my friend. Happy to have you on the airwaves, and I hope the family is doing well. I want to get right into it, though, Britt. Your colleague over at The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal, dipped his pen in blood before writing the piece on Washington yesterday. What kind of stands out the most about this piece, Britt? And do you hear, I guess, where Ken is coming from?
Yeah, so, you know, full disclosure, I read that piece before it went live because Ken knows I'm familiar with the Nationals, was on the Nationals beat, still live in this area, and I think that there were a lot of fair points made in that article, but to me, the one thing that, and I said this to Ken, and I think he did a good job hammering it, is the developing. The development for the Washington Nationals needs to get better. I think Mike Rizzo, who declined to talk for the story, would agree. I think anybody who objectively looks at this team, whether or not you feel good about the future and some of the guys they got from the Soto trade or not, I think you have to look at it as, who are the Nationals developing? Who are they making better? And I think that has been a big hole. It has been a sore spot. It's been something that they've tried to address. And until we see the fruits of that labor, I think you have to continue to question, you know, how they are developing players within their farm system.
Yeah, I think that is a big issue. The way I describe it, Britt, is kind of like a deadly cocktail of ownership not spending and you're not drafting and developing your own talent. Like, that's a tough spot to be in if you want to be a perennial winner. I always give the ownership group a little bit of leeway, Britt, because, face it, they didn't get to capitalize off of the ticket gate post-World Series, the spike in merchandise and the spike in popularity and interest. How much do you think that played a role in their lack of spending here over the past several years?
Yeah, I do think that is an interesting thing. And, you know, I was on with our friend Ben Standing on this fine station the other night and brought up that same point that I do think when you go at ownership, you have to go out with the caveat that the learners have spent.
Yeah.
They have spent when the team has been good. They have spent when there is a chance for the team to compete, and they have spent on pitching. We know those always haven't turned out to be good contracts,
right. But
they paid Patrick Corbin a lot of money. They paid Steven Strasburg a lot of money. You could make the case that they have struggled and have not spent money on position players, and that would be accurate, right? We've seen Juan Soto go, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper go.
Right.
It doesn't instill a lot of confidence in some of the, you know, the young position players they have right now signing. But I do think if you are the Lerner family, you have to kind of look at it as, okay, is this going to be the winter that we start to try again? Is this going to be the time here? Because, you know, 2019 was a long time ago now.
Yeah.
You have to start to see the fruits of the rebuild. You have to start to see things move forward. And I think both them and GM Mike Rizzo kind of have to move with a sense of urgency now to get this team good quickly while these young guys are under team control.
One thing that Ken reported on, Britt, that I actually wasn't privy to, I think the Post had it as well, it must have just slipped through the cracks for me. They, you know, started contract negotiations last spring with C.J. Abrams, but those talks obviously didn't go too far. He's not a Boris guy. He's represented by Roc Nation, so you would think that gives him a little better of a shot of signing him long-term, but, like, of the three guys that I'm thinking of here, talking about Wood, Mackenzie Gore, and C.J. Abrams, who do you think has the best shot of re-signing?
God, that's a good question. I think that they really looked at Abrams and wanted him to be a part of the future, and then I think there were some character issues, obviously, down the stretch. And, you know, that gives teams pause because you're not just investing in the player, you're investing in the person. And so, you know, I think probably I'd give the edge to Gore right now. I wish I could say James Wood would be the guy, but, you know, I think based off of his agent being Scott Boras and, you know, the kind of superstar potential he's already shown, I think, unfortunately, that ship might have sailed unless some of that money that we heard that was big, you know, $400+ million that was ticketed for Juan Soto, you know, maybe some of that money is in the coffer still, and they can use that on a James Wood, because that's kind of the only way you're going to keep a guy like that, you know, even though he is several years away from being a free agent. So, you know, I think you have to do something. I think you have to extend someone, because you look up the road, Linnell, to Baltimore, and you look at how quickly a promising young core can kind of not look quite as promising anymore, right? None of those guys are locked up. They're getting 1 year closer to free agency this year in what will probably be a lost season. And so I think the Nationals, and for so long Mike Rizzo has said they were trying to follow the playbook of the Orioles, I think you have to look at what they've done a little bit with caution and say, how do we avoid this happening? And that, to me, is the biggest question right now. And it starts with locking up young guys and also making them better up here, which the Orioles have failed to do as well. Guys that come up here now are not finished products. You know, this is the change in baseball from 10, 15 years ago. Guys come up and they still need developing. They still need help. And that is something that we have to see the Nationals execute and execute well.
One other thing that Ken hits on, Britt, we only got a couple moments left with you. I appreciate you making some time. I guess I'll end with a scouting question. I know they've made some significant moves to kind of revamp that scouting department over the past 2 years. Do you look at Mike Rizzo, who is one of the, you know, longest tenured, you know, head of baseball ops in the league, and go, maybe his eye for talent just isn't the same anymore because the game has changed quite a bit since he first taken over?
Right. Yeah, I don't know if I would say that. You know, I'm not intimately involved with that team on a day-to-day basis. I think they've made some changes in certain departments as a way of kind of saying, we need to get better. We need to do different things in the process. I think a lot of teams are looking at their processes and constantly fine-tuning them. I think the proof is going to be in these young guys who are up here. I mean, the guys they got from Soto in that trade were already really good prospects, right? They weren't like the Padres' 10th and to 15th best prospects. You know, so a lot of that developing was already done for them. Now can they take the next step, right? James Wood isn't a guy who needs a lot of work. You know, I want to see the Nationals' fourth rounder make the big leagues. I want to see, you know, a guy that was in the sixth or seventh round out of nowhere, and the Nationals added a pitch, and all of a sudden he's a lot better. You see that with other organizations.
Where's our Spencer Strider?
You don't see it as much with the Nationals, and that's something that even going back to 19, when I was on the Nationals beat for the Athletic, me and Jesse Doherty, who used to be with the Washington Post on the Nats beat, would talk about that. Like, who have they developed? And for a while, they covered it up by spending money, by buying the Max Scherzers and the Corbins and such, but they really have to now, if they're not going to spend money, and Ken pointed this out so eloquently, you got to do something. They don't develop and they don't spend money, and that is a lethal combination. So I think, you know, for Mike Rizzo, they really need to look at their processes and say, okay, how can we support this young core that we traded for? It was an excellent trade.
Right.
Mike Rizzo is an absolutely fantastic trader. I don't think anybody could argue that at all. I think the argument is, are they going to be able to support the guys they traded for to create a window of success? And that is the question.
Yes, indeed. We will patiently wait, and I'll be biting my fingernails to see how they finish leading up to the trade deadline coming up in about a month and a half. But, Britt, always good catching up with you, my friend. We will talk soon. I hope all is well with you and yours.
Okay, thanks. Take care, Linnell.
That is Britt Ciroli, one of the absolute best, talking all things seam ball. Give her a follow on the X app at BRITT_GHIROLI. Britt Ciroli, senior writer for The Athletic. It's a tough spot to be in, because I think when this was introduced yesterday, and I sat in for a guy, Grant Paulson, yesterday on Grant and Danny, listening to Danny go scorched earth about this, it changed my opinion on it a little bit. But after hearing Rizzo this morning on the Junks, after listening to Britt, I don't know where the blame should be pointed, if I'm being honest. Like, if we had to do a blame pie.
I mean, we know where the blame lies.
Yes.
Because we've experienced this for 20 years with a football team. It starts up top. It always starts up top. And it's just that spending, that covering up, as Britt put it, it's starting to wear thin, and people are starting to see through it. And it's wearing out its welcome, I think, among a lot of Nats fans.
Yeah, and it masked a problem that, you know, even in 19 when they had won the World Series, back to what Britt was kind of alluding to, outside of Juan and Strauss, like, a lot of the guys that, you know, had success on that team were bought.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a real issue of drafting and developing talent. Like I said, to open up the show, I don't know which one I'd rather be. Because I think there are some teams in Major League Baseball that have the problem of ownership won't spend money, but they're having a third-round catcher come up and turn into, you know, an all-star caliber player, right? Like, they're having guys come out of the woodworks, you know, come out of their farm system and have success. It's just tough. I guess the bigger question is, too, like, is there a confidence level amongst fans that this will change? I have a confidence that it will change because they've made some of the ancillary moves that you need to have. And this goes back into the Ken Rosenthal piece. Eddie Longos, a longtime scouting executive with the club, replaced Dijon Watson as the farm director. Chris Klein, the director of amateur scouting for 14 years, has moved into a special assistance role, replaced by Danny Haas from the Diamondbacks, another organization that's actually drafted pretty well. John DePeguglia, who enjoyed a similarly long tenure as the team's head of international scouting, resigned without explanation. That's another weird one to me. I think if you look at all the great teams in Major League Baseball, you got to have a little international flavor on your roster. We had our Juan Soto. We got K-Bear, but we know K-Bear is not very good. But I don't know, man. When I see those moves, and this is something that's happened here in the past two seasons, when I see those moves, I go, okay, they're not turning a blind eye to the fact that they can't draft and develop talent. They're not ignorant to the fact that they can't draft and develop talent. They're just not doing it well. They're just not doing it well. That's like in with the Wizards for a long time, right? We were ticked off as a fan base because Ernie Grunfeld had bad pick after bad pick after bad pick. And what were we all doing? Calling for him to get fired. And eventually, the plug was pulled. I think what you're seeing with the Nats is after years of, you know, not really having guys, you know, get developed and come up and make an impact, I think they're starting to recognize it internally and going, hey, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? Because the ironic part, that's what I keep saying, the irony of the piece coming out, I don't think they're super duper far away. I don't. When I look at this Nats team and what they need right now, what would make them a legitimate, bona fide threat in the National League and be a wild card team, I think they need another two more relievers, I would say. At least two or three more relievers. Give you some options there. I like Kyle Finnegan as your closer. I think you need some more beef in your lineup as well. And depth. Right now, like, if Nathaniel Lowe gets hurt at first base, Who's your first baseman? Josh Bell? Come on. So it'll be interesting, man. I think when you talk to fans, it's weird, though. When you talk to fans, I hear fans complain more about the lack of spending rather than them not drafting and developing. And I wonder, like, where does the frustration actually lie amongst the fans? And do you all have confidence that Mike Rizzo and company could turn this thing around and turn the Nats back into a contender in the National League? 301-230-0980 is the number. I want to take your calls on the Nats on the other side of the break. Your confidence level, your reaction first and foremost to the, you know, Ken Rosenthal scorched earth piece that he wrote yesterday, and your reaction, right? And then also, do you think this Nationals team, do you have the confidence that this organization will get back to that level that they were throughout the mid-2010s, culminating in 2019 with the World Series? 301-230-0980 is the number. We're back next here on the Kevin Sheehan Show.
All right, last night, as we've been talking about all morning, the Nats, they fall in a late-night matchup to the Seattle Mariners, 9-1. Mitchell Parker earned the loss, giving up seven hits, four earned runs, and three home runs. Pablo Torre is open to pursuing legal action against the University of North Carolina if the university fails to comply with FOIA requests to produce records relating to Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. The Pacers, they take a 3-1 lead over the Knicks, 130-121. Tyrese Halliburton with a historic night. He had a triple-double, posting 32 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists, and zero turnovers. He becomes the first player in NBA playoff history with 30, 15, and 10, and zero turnovers. The Oilers, they take a 3-1 lead over the Dallas Stars. They win 4-1. Corey Perry gets the game-winning goal. And tonight, two teams looking for the finishing blow. OKC tries to close out the Minnesota Timberwolves at 8:30 on ESPN, and the Florida Panthers attempt to finish off the Carolina Hurricanes at 8 on TNT. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.